People from Chicago, they're so happy to have been born there.
Chicago, when does it end?
So many people can't wait to tell me they're from Chicago.
You wouldn't understand.
The Bears Nation Podcast, powered by On Tap Sports Network.
I've been here 9 months. Things have gone very quickly. We've accomplished a lot, but I'm extremely impatient.
It is a beautiful day in Chicago.
I'm competitive. I want to win, but I also want to do it with integrity and style and grace and class and humility.
We'll call Chicago and notify them of the situation.
This is a destination. People want to come to Chicago.
Hello, Chicago!
And as I sit here today, unequivocally, I believe that we have the right set of individuals, and my expectations going into this season are extremely high, that we need to win the NFC North.
See you in the Super Bowl.
It's the Bears Nation Podcast with Kevin Lapka and Jake Hassan.
Both men of Chicago.
It's Bears Nation, baby.
We're going to take the North and never give it back.
Let's go.
This is Bears Nation Podcast. It is Monday, March 18th. And anything happened in the last week? Anything that anybody wants to talk about? Anything that anybody wants to discuss?
Not that anyway. I can think of. Nothing comes to mind for me, honestly.
Well, Kevin Lapka, this may be a shock to you, so hold on to your butt. But Justin Fields was traded to the Pittsburgh Steelers on the Saturday of St. Patrick's Day weekend. And slightly before that, Keenan Allen was acquired by the Chicago Bears for a fourth round pick. And our longtime national nightmare is over. I think that's the best way to put it, though, because it really does feel like a nightmare has ended. Like, this was so long, so drawn out. We were talking on this podcast last week that we weren't sure this was going to be done by the draft in 30 something days, and at that time it was over a month, well over a month, and it still is over a month to the draft. And so we were wondering, like, how long this was going to take. And of course, as things just go, 5 days later, Justin Fields is no longer a member of the Chicago Bears. But I mean, the new era is here. I know Justin Fields' era was not what we wanted it to be. It didn't work out the way that everyone wanted to. It ends with a whimper and not a bang, and that sucks. And I wish Justin Fields the best. I hope that he takes the job from that incredible cornball Russell Wilson and is able to flourish in Pittsburgh. I really hope so. That'd be awesome for him and to see as just a football fan. But new era of the Chicago Bears, new quarterback. We try this again. The revolving door continues, and you hope that Caleb Williams can firmly wedge his foot in the revolving door and put a stop to it for the foreseeable future.
That's right. Yeah, it is a new era. And look, there's a lot to unpack here regarding Justin Fields and this whole situation. Like, the amount of stuff I have written down is crazy, just about, you know, my feelings about this and you know, where to go from here and how this whole thing played out and how we got here. Like, I mean, you look back at the past 3 years of Justin Fields' career, and it all just kind of feels like a blur at this point now. And you have to take it piece by piece. And there's, you know, different components to all of this that I want to go through with you, because just, you know, seeing the fallout and just going through this in my head the past 3 days, like, there's been revelations and there's been other things that, you know, we've expected from this franchise. And you know, the bottom line is, you're right, the bottom line is we move forward from here. Caleb Williams is going to be the quarterback of the Chicago Bears, we assume. And that's the bottom line. Like, I love Justin Fields, right? I mean, that, and I like him more than the average person because of specific reasons. I saw him at Ohio State. He's a great kid. Sure. You know, obviously that's part of the reason why I want him to succeed here, and why, you know, I was advocating for him to potentially be brought back in under certain circumstances. But you can't, if you are one of those people, you can't let that be reason to root against Caleb Williams just to prove you're right. You can't let that be reason to not be a fan of the team. Like, at this point, you know, I'm not going to tell you how to fan, but it's the right thing to just accept that this is the way it is. And we can dissect it and talk about it and talk about how the Bears did Justin Fields dirty and did him wrong throughout his career here. But from this moment forward, March 18th, we're all in on Caleb Williams. And that's just what you have to do. And they've put a team together that is ready to win with him. And who knows how he'll handle it, but you cannot knock that they are about to put him into a great situation. So we all have to move on. We'll have to move forward as a collective fan base of, okay, we're all in on this kid and we're not going to bash him just because of the way we felt about Fields. We're not going to say negative things about him and comment on these posts about him and all these different things. Like, no, we have to be all in on him despite what you thought about what has occurred the entire offseason. But I want to start, like, let's start, because there's so much to unpack with this. Like I said, like, I have so many things written down. I kind of want to just go through all of it with you. Let's start with the return. Okay. Because sure. I was on air when we got the news, mm-hmm. and, you know, Kate Constable, who's the host of the Better Rating on Saturday, a show that Jake has hosted with her all the time. She's phenomenal. She's awesome.
Yep.
She's actually been on the show before. She's like, you know, initial reaction, what do you think of it? And like, my initial visceral reaction was like, they got fleeced. Like, that was my initial reaction. When I saw sixth rounder, I could not believe it. I had to reread the tweet like three different times to make sure I read it right. And yes, that could be a fourth rounder, depending on the amount of playing time he gets. If he plays 51% of the snaps, he will, that pick will become a fourth rounder. So it's a conditional. But if it isn't that, and we're just going to assume that it's not, because, you know, we'll assume that it's going to be a sixth. I mean, sure. Mac Jones is traded for a sixth rounder. Trey Lance last year traded for a fourth rounder. It is just, it is a value pickup for Pittsburgh. It is the right destination for Justin Fields. But if you're the Bears, like, it is a little frustrating to know that you have this asset that people still, you know, we could talk about the market. We'll talk about how I probably was wrong about my, you know, conception of what played out with the market. Mm-hmm. I was definitely a little wrong. But would you agree? Like, you could have done better, I thought. And a sixth rounder, seeing Justin Fields go away for a sixth rounder, is a painful, painful thing to accept and to swallow, and to know that with the right coaching staff, with Mike Tomlin over there, it's probably pretty likely he'll exceed the value that they got in return for him.
What it tells me is that of the other teams that were involved, and maybe we'll end up realizing who they were, I think we could probably guess if we really wanted to, but of the teams that were involved, you probably weren't getting more than like a third round offer for Justin Fields. And so Ryan Poles in his head did the calculation of, okay, how much more value do I get in the long term of doing right by this player, trying to put him in a position to succeed? And, you know, how does that help us down right. the road, as opposed to the short term of getting a third round pick this year? What it tells me is maybe there was a third, maybe there was a fourth round pick on the table, and Ryan Poles picked up the phone and called the Pittsburgh Steelers and said, hey, like, Justin Fields wants to come to your guys' organization, thinks he has a chance to start. I think we can all agree that there's definitely a real chance he takes the job from Russell Wilson in training camp, and said, hey, doesn't have to be that, but at least give us a shot to get greater value out of this, because we know that you have Russell Wilson, and we know that there's no guarantee he'll start for your team. So let's craft some sort of deal, because I want to do right by him. You guys clearly want him. Let's figure something out. And that's how the conditional fourth round, you know, kind of stipulation, if you will, got worked into that. That's what it tells me. It tells me that I don't think you were completely wrong, Kevin, last week, and that in your evaluation of the market. I think it's just, and I think we were both wrong to an extent. Mm-hmm. I think we were just both kind of misread the situation. But I think that the Bears and the Steelers kind of worked something together, piecework. And it tells me that just Ryan Poles didn't have anything better than a third round pick on the table as an offer.
Yeah, and that's probably the case. I mean, you know, we know that the other teams had interest, but and this is a good segue to the really next aspect of this is, you know, from what we've heard, there was a better offer, maybe not third round, but there.
We have baseball news really fast. Blake Snell to the Giants, 2 years, $62 million.
The San Francisco Giants. Didn't you just tweet that? Or I saw Cody Decker tweet that he couldn't believe that he was available. So
yeah, that was like an hour.
That's funny how that works. But when it comes to Justin Fields and them giving up a six round pick and sending him to preferred destination, I think here's what you're trying to say. Like, from the start, the whole do right by Justin Fields thing, I thought we were reading too much into it. I really did. I thought that they were, you know, that's just something that Ryan Poles said and we were reading too much into it. But at the end of the day, I mean, that's what this all comes down to. And there's a deeper aspect to this that I've been working through my brain all day. And it's like, okay, so maybe he did have a, let's say it was a fourth rounder from Philadelphia. We know Philadelphia was interested, and I would imagine like Howie Roseman will give up anything to get the player he wants, like fourth rounder to get Justin Fields and to be the clear backup to Jalen Hurts, right? Like that guy's on a $200 million contract. You know, he's the backup, but instead he takes less. And yes, the conditional is there, and I think that plays into it. But he takes less to do the right thing for the player and send him to his preferred destination, and send him to a destination where not just is it his preferred destination, but a destination where you know he can flourish. And these are things that are strong contributors to organizational competence. And we talk so often about, okay, the Bears are viewed as a team that is not organizationally competent. If you go to the Chicago Bears, odds are you will not become the best version of yourself. When we think of the best organizations in the league, if you take away championships, right? When you think of organizational health, it's not always championships that plays into it, right? Like I would deem the Minnesota Vikings a very healthy organization, and they've never won a Super Bowl, right? These are the sort of things that play into that. And that's the reason we talk about the Steelers as being a great place. Yes, they've won, but they are organizational healthy. So polls right now, and I think the Chicago Bears in general, and we've seen over the past couple of years, are in the midst of fundamentally changing the narrative around the Chicago Bears, making it a destination where players go to flourish and where players want to go for reasons like this. We've always thought of the McCaskies and the front office of not necessarily being the most team-friendly, player-friendly owners, right? Sure. They like to, you know, focus on the money, and we don't know how invested they are and what the team really does. And it seems like, from my vantage point, Ryan Poles is doing this the right way and building a culture and building and helping to build an organization that is viewed as one that has respect for its players, one that is going to start doing things the right way, and one that is overall organizationally healthy. And that is a very underrated, rare thing about all of this. But to see Ryan Poles do right by Fields and stick to his word and send him to a perfect destination for a kid who's been damaged by this organization is of the utmost respect for me. So I know it's kind of contradictory because I'm saying, well, I think they could have gotten more, but also I'm proud of him for doing right. Like, I think both things can be true, but when you do look at it in that way, it is a reflection of the change that we have seen and are going to see in the coming years of the Bears, not just from a football standpoint, but from an organizational standpoint.
Yeah. And I think that, to your point, that, I mean, it's kind of like, I said, like, I think Ryan Poles weighed what was better for the team and for what they were building long term and their image, to your point, as opposed to getting the most short term value and getting the most, and so, and again, and I think what also helps this is Ryan Poles gave Justin Fields a chance. Gave him 2 years, and that first year wasn't great. But Ryan Poles didn't owe Justin Fields proverbially anything. He didn't draft him. He was kind of handed him. And when Ryan Poles was hired, we kind of figured that this part of the interview process was, okay, what do you think about Justin Fields? Do you think he could turn into something? And that first year was kind of a strip everything down. Not really a great situation for a young developing quarterback. Last year, I think you could make the argument that still it wasn't great. It was better, but it still wasn't great. And then Justin Fields also missed a month too. That didn't help things. So I do think that Ryan Poles also gave him a chance. He was behind the eight ball regardless. Like Justin Fields kind of was, he was starting, you know, from behind regardless. And he would have had to go and ball out and completely blow them away. But it's a factor of things. It's that he played, you know, he had flashes of greatness, but it was never consistent. And then also the having this first overall pick 2 years in a row, that never happens. So it's just a matter of circumstance and a point. So I think Ryan Poles, you know, gave this guy who he didn't draft, who he signed on for, but you know, for the most part, really, let's say it for what it is, call a spade, was saddled with upon taking the job. And gave him a chance, and he didn't blow you away. And you passed up on the top of the top quarterbacks, whether that would have been Bryce Young or CJ Stroud, who knows, but you passed on it once. And now you supposedly have a guy who's even better than those guys coming around again. and you just can't pass it up twice. And the rookie contract thing does play a part in it, especially when you're going to pay Keenan Allen what you are, and when you're going to pay, mm-hmm. you know, DJ Moore, and when you're going to pay the linebackers, and when you're going to have to pay Kyler Gordon and Jaquan Brisker at some point. So it just, it made too much sense. And we said this on the last episode, we both expected this to happen at some point. It's just now that it's actually happened, the fallout actually is, it's in front of us. It's actually concrete now.
Yeah. And I think what you're saying is Justin Fields is simply just the recipient, like his the end of his career in Chicago is simply due to bad luck and on his end. That's really what it is. The Chicago Bears, I'm sure, approached him when Ryan Poles and Matt Eberflus became the head coach and general manager at the start of 2022. I'm sure they approached him and said, hey, we have a plan to, you know, they didn't say they're going to tank games, but hey, we have an extensive plan to overhaul this roster. Okay. Mm-hmm. We might trade away players, but you know what? We're going to help you. And we made a colossal mistake on the guy we chose to trade for, but we're going to trade for a receiver in Chase Claypool who should help you. And they were obviously, it was a terrible evaluation, but in general, I believe that they were all on the same page of, hey, this is a multi-year rebuild with you involved at the center of it. With you involved, you are going to be at the center of this rebuild. We are planning to build around you, Justin. I am sure mm-hmm. that was the conversation. He wouldn't have taken the job in Chicago if he didn't see that in Justin Fields. We talked about this in the past.
Didn't see the potential.
Now, yeah, so he sees the potential, and they happen to get the first overall pick. And yes, they aim to do that with some of the transactions they made and some, the way they coached some of those games. But did they know that that first pick would turn in to the first pick the following year where sure. there was these prospects available? No. So their plan had to change as they went on. And mm-hmm. that's why when people say, oh, Ryan Poles ruined Justin Fields and was out to destroy his career. Well, that's not the case. It played out that way. And it appears that way now in hindsight, but you have to imagine that they were all on the same page, and you know, they put $100 on black number five and they hit, you know, like that's really sure. what it was. And now they're going to cash out big, and Justin Fields is just on the wrong end of bad luck. I mean, that is really what it is. Now, you can go back to the first year with Matt Nagy and Ryan Pace and talk about that year as being more malpractice than anything Ryan Poles did, which sure. I believe it was.
Well, I mean, neither of them have jobs that they started with.
Well, exactly. And that's why, or I believe that year was more detrimental to Justin Fields' career than anything else that occurred in his tenure with the Bears. Like we've talked about that ad nauseum, it seems like, but sure. When you can make the statement, I do believe that the Chicago Bears failed Justin Fields. I think that is a fair statement to make, but I also believe that he was the result of bad luck and the timing. And look, that is also, I mean, that plays into the fears that we have with Caleb Williams and the fears about the timeline and the fears about doing this the right way. And sure, he didn't have the pieces year one that Caleb Williams will now have, but the same idea about the coaching staff and, you know, okay, if they struggle this year and they don't meet their expectations, will Eberflus get fired? And will we be doing this again? The things that have scared us over and over and over. And those are the things that that ultimately were the reasons that Justin Fields is no longer with the Chicago Bears. Excuse me. So it's I just had to clear that up a little bit because sure. I do believe the organization failed Justin Fields, but it's also important to recognize that, look, this is just bad luck. And Jake, what have we said all along in general from the beginning of last year? The Chicago Bears are not what Justin Fields deserves, and it's not where he should be. It just isn't. I mean, the way this organization operated with him and handled his situation was a disservice to him as a player, the way Luke Getsy called plays for him. It was a disservice to him, although it was a part of their plan in 2022. In his eyes as a player, I'm sure he's like, what the hell? You got me throwing a Byron Pringle and necking to me as St. Brown in the last seconds of the fourth quarter, and they're not catching anything, right? So, look, it is just, it's unfortunate the way it shook out, but it's the best for his career that he's no longer here. It just is. And now he goes, and we can segue to this, Jake. He goes to a situation in Pittsburgh where this was my second reaction when I was live. I said, look, this is a Hall of Fame head coach, one of the best head coaches in NFL history, that is famous for working well with his players and knowing how to handle these types of guys. And he's behind, whether you believe Russell Wilson's a cornball, so do I, right? We all know that. But this is a player who he was comped to out of college.
this same exact skill set.
Guys won Super Bowls. Super Bowl.
The guy who's, yeah, he's been in the league. He's going to mentor him. And whether you like it or not, Russell Wilson's like a genuinely nice guy who's going to be willing to help Justin Fields' career. This is the best possible situation for Justin Fields. And I wish him nothing but the best in Pittsburgh, because the Bears were an organization that failed him and he deserved better. And now he will get better.
And I think nobody, just to make this a Steelers thing for 2 seconds, like, remember how Russell Wilson took the job in Seattle? Remember how that played out? Yep. Matt Flynn got the bag from the Seattle Seahawks, was going to be like the next great Packers backup to flourish into a starter and be, you know, a great quarterback in the league. And then this, you know, guy, fourth round pick out of Wisconsin, who had bounced around college football, bounced around two programs or whatever, you know what I mean, took the job from him and then went on to win a Super Bowl and appear in multiple Super Bowls. So would anyone be kind of surprised if this comes full circle and Justin Fields, who, you know, was at two different college programs and now is on his second NFL team at just 25 years old, comes in there and steals the job from Russell Wilson? Would anyone be shocked by that? I mean, not just as like a full circle, you know, like the intangibles, the narrative, but also Russell Wilson just might be washed. And Justin Fields is 10 years younger. And you're right, to your point, Russell Wilson seems like a generally pleasant person. And, you know, again, in general, does anyone really think that Russell Wilson is going to say, no, I'm not going to teach you what I know or what I've learned or picked up in the league? Like, no, I don't think that's going to be the case at all. I think Justin Fields is walking in there tomorrow or today, it's Monday, walking in there today and being like attaching himself at the hip to Russell Wilson. So, I mean, yeah, I wish the best for Justin Fields. I hope that he finds success in Pittsburgh. I hope he can, you know, have a successful career there and turn himself into a good starter, make the Steelers make a tough decision this fall as far as their starter goes. So wish him the best. Like you said, not the best ending. I think you're right. Luck had something to do with it. How often does the number one overall pick fall into your lap like it did with the Panthers selection? And, you know, just, if this was a year like it was a couple of years ago where Myles Garrett is the far and away number one overall prospect and the quarterbacks are kind of where he had, like, you know, where Sam Darnold was the first quarterback off the board at number three, like maybe then things are different, but it's not.
Things are different.
Yeah. And you have three very, very strong quarterback prospects at the top of the draft who are probably going to go 1, 2, 3 in order. And you have the chance to take the far and away best out of all of them. So I think you're right. Luck has something to do with it. I give Ryan Poles credit for trying to do right, especially given how much the Bears players in the locker room was behind Justin Fields. And now I think it's a softer landing, I think, in the locker room, because the players and DJ Moore and those guys who are big fans of Justin Fields can kind of stomach it, knowing that Ryan Poles tried to do right by Justin Fields, tried to put him in a position where he can have success. So I think it was the right move, taking that offer and respecting Justin Fields' wishes. But let's spin it forward, man. Yeah. You know, and a little over a month and a week, you know, 5 weeks or so, 6 weeks, you know, the Bears are going up there and now it's no bones about it. Like, again, we assume it's Caleb Williams because that's the only name we've heard connected to the Bears that isn't named Justin Fields for the last 6 months, longer, 7, 8. So it's you know, if they're going to have that timer up there and it's because the Chicago Bears are on the clock, I mean, I feel like we can just bypass that, just get him up there, make the announcement. Roger can stand out there. But I think that if you were going to do this, if you were going to pin everything on a quote unquote generational quarterback prospect that we haven't seen in a long time, again, quote unquote, words that you can hear on TV, on the radio, read, this is a great situation. I mean, I was a little worried, and just to go back to the Keenan Allen thing for a second, I was a little worried that when they were continuing to give up, they gave up a fifth round pick for Ryan Bates a couple weeks ago. They gave up a fourth round pick for Keenan Allen, a draft that you don't have a lot of assets in already. I was a little worried that when they gave up a fourth round pick for Keenan Allen on the last year of his deal at 32 years old, there was a part of me that said, they might trade out of number one to get some of these picks back. Yeah. That was a real thought I had. It was split 50-50. Like, okay, they're definitely going with the rookie here. But then there was the other part of me that, and this is all moot now because we know what they're going to do. Obviously, they're going to be drafting, again, probably Caleb Williams at number one overall. But, you know, what is your, I know you said 10 wins. I know you said playoffs. What is your actual, like, what is your rational brain tell you as of this moment, March 18th, Monday, that the Bears win loss record is going into? You're going to have a last place schedule. You're going to have I think you play the AFC South. You play the AFC South. I forget, look, but regardless, what does your brain tell you the Chicago Bears record is in 2024-25?
Expectation or official prediction?
Rationally, right? What is your rational? They're like, we know that the ceiling, I agree with you, is 10, 11, 12 wins, go to the playoffs, potentially win a playoff game, do this, you know, like what the Texans did. But rationally, what do you think? Like, what are you, knowing how the Bears are and how things generally fall below expectations with a rookie quarterback, what does your brain tell you the Chicago Bears record is in 24-25?
I think probably 10-7. I mean, that's where my brain goes. And look, I mean, if Caleb Williams is what we think he is, and if he is what he says he is, then they should win more than 10 games. And I truly believe that. Here's where I get worried about it. Here's the scenario where they don't win 10 games, because everything points to them winning that many games because the defense is phenomenal. That will keep them in every game and will probably win them a number of games just because we know how the Bears are offensively still. And there will be growing pains with Shane Waldron and a rookie quarterback and all those things. Of course, those will factor into losses without a doubt, despite the talent that they have on the offensive side of the ball. But the talent overall would lead you to believe that this should be a 10-11 win team on paper. That is what the talent should tell you. Here's where I get a little bit scared when it comes to the difference between if it were Justin Fields or Caleb Williams or like just with a rookie quarterback, where that factors in. The expectations for him were already high. They were already the highest they've ever been for a number one overall pick because of the things that we've said in accordance to Caleb Williams, such as generational, and we've never seen a prospect like this. And then, you know, he goes out there and says, I can do anything Mahomes can do. And he set the bar there for himself, which we love the confidence for that. That's a great thing.
Yeah.
You know, we love that. But at the same time, you're setting the bar extremely high for yourself. So that was before free agency, Jake. That was before the offseason started. That bar was already high. Now they have added Keenan Allen, who's 32 years old and ain't getting any younger. Now they have spent money at the running back position, which very few people do unless you're a team that's ready to contend. Now you've traded away assets for Ryan Bates.
Well, isn't like the DJ Moore like contract where DJ Moore is in his 20s under contract for the next 3 years. Keenan Allen's 32 in the last year of his deal and has had trouble staying on the field.
Right. Yeah. So you're saying that's more, you're saying Keenan Allen's had trouble
staying on the field?
It's riskier. Yeah, it is. Well, it is riskier. That plays into it.
Win now move.
Right. It's a win now move. And the expectations have been raised in the past couple of weeks. They simply have. So, and we've heard it already. People talking about, he might have a better season than Andrew Luck. This is the most, this is objectively.
And they might go up even more if you draft Jerome Adunze or, you know, if a receiver falls to number 9, like they'll go up even more.
They will go up more. I imagine they'll draft at least 2 of them, especially, and I think they will draft one in the first round. I'll get to that later. I have something to pitch to you about the first round at number 9. But the expectations are now extremely high, and they're the highest they've ever been for a first-round quarterback. And the question that they are going to try to find out when they approach Caleb Williams at Pro Day on Wednesday and when they meet with him at House Hall is, are you equipped to handle this? Because not only is it just being the quarterback at the Chicago Bears in general that we know is extremely hard to handle and being in this media market and dealing with all this, but it's now the expectation on the field that if you don't win immediately, the questions are going to start being asked. You can deny that that's going to be the case, and I know there's going to be people that deny that, but I guarantee you, if the Bears were to go 0-2 and Caleb Williams struggles, people are going to be like, okay, what the hell is going on here? He's not going to get the benefit of the doubt, the same benefit of the doubt that the other rookies have had in the past. He's just not. The expectations are way too high, and we're expecting it from the jump because of the team that has been built around him. So if they don't succeed early on, you know, you're going to start to see, and I'm not saying hard questions, like, oh, is he going to be, you know, bench him for Bajan at all? No, that's not what I'm saying. But in comparison to what he is made out to be,
We are going to have those questions. Objectively, we will. It will be the topic on First Take. Did the Bears make the right move? Say Justin Fields wins two games in Pittsburgh. He's the starter. He wins two games. They go 2-0, and the Bears go 0-2. The headline on First Take before Week 3 will be, did the Bears make the right move trading Justin Fields and drafting Caleb Williams if Caleb were to struggle? I can guarantee you that's what we're going to see. We've seen this. We know that this is what we do in our evaluation. So I fear the pressure.
All right.
Yes.
Hear me out, because I think I just figured out. I think I have the script. I think, okay, I know what's going to be. So week one, and the Bears play the NFC West. So all let me pitch you on something. One of the Bears away opponents this year. Actually, there's two ways this could go.
Okay.
So I was right. They do play the AFC South. So the Panthers, the Texans, the Colts. But they also play the NFC West. Week one, NFL season, America's game of the week. The just off their Super Bowl loss, San Francisco 49ers, and Mr. Irrelevant, Brock Purdy, versus the new up and coming number one overall pick, Chicago Bears and Caleb Williams at San Francisco. Or is it, conversely, is it the guy the Chicago Bears passed on, number two, CJ Stroud, who took his team to the playoffs, hosting the Chicago Bears, who are hoping to do the same thing that they did?
Sunday Night Football.
Could also, sure. I think regardless, either of those matchups, it's either game of the week or it's Sunday Night Football.
It has to be the layup in the NFL.
One of those two, right?
Yes, the NFL will do this. You make a great point. I mean, if you look what the NFL did with the schedule last year, Rodgers versus the Bills in Week One and a Monday night, right? Like, they were on top of it last year, doing the narratives for all the primetime games. I'm with you. It's either the Niners or the Texans Week One.
So I could see it going Bears Lions too, but I think if I had to guess right now, it's Bears Texans Week One.
They do love a good Bears Lions Week One matchup, but Bears Texans Week One is too good to pass up.
I mean, that is the storyline's phenomenal. The guy that the Bears passed on,
right?
Why did I say it like that? The guy that the Bears passed on, who went number two overall, who then went to the Texans and took the team to the playoffs, and now the Bears are hoping to do the exact same thing, go worst to first.
And it would be phenomenal. I mean, that they could make
Stroud versus Williams. Yeah, sign me up I will be sat for that.
So I said that the pressure is there. And it would be there if they played a game like that. But I was playing devil's advocate here, but if they struggle, we're gonna have the questions. But here's the good thing about
If they play the 49ers and they lose that game, I don't think anybody's
gonna. No, I know. But like, say in general, okay, they struggle first three games of the season. But here's the flip side of that coin. If they have success the first three games of the season, and that pressure is there, and he overcomes it and he balls out, you got a effing baller, and you know it from the get-go. So there's two sides of it. And of course, there's a medium, but I have that fear in the back of my mind of, okay, this is an incredible amount of pressure that we've never seen before for a number one overall pick. Can he handle it? And if he does handle it, you might have a player. You might have a dude. So there's a lot to look forward to when it comes. There's a lot to be scared of course, because we're traumatized as Bears fans.
Yes.
But there's a lot to be. Do you share that same fear? Is it just me being cynical about the franchise?
No, Kevin, I've been this way for the 3, 4, 5 years we've done this podcast. I've been like this forever. Like, I get it. I really do get it. And I agree with you that so week one, the first couple of weeks, it depends on the opponent. Like, if you go, if your first 3 weeks are 49ers, Lions, and Texans, and you go 1-2 in those games, I think people will cut you some slack. But if you open the season Vikings, Titans, Patriots, like, yeah, you better go 3-0 there. Or if you open the season, Lions, Colts, Commanders or something, And so here's what's going to happen, because it's easy to say now on March 18th. All right, we got to, it's a rookie quarterback. We don't want to put too much pressure on him already. We got to give him room to grow and, find his footing in the NFL and yada, yada, yada. But you look at this schedule, like, and the exact, why am I saying words weird? The exact schedule isn't out, But you have the opponents. So obviously you have your NFC North opponents, you know, Lions, Packers, Vikings, you know, two against each of them. But I mean, you get the Titans at home, the Panthers and the Patriots at home.
So many
winnable games. You go to the Colts, you go to the Commanders, you go to the Cardinals. Like, you know, come training camp, people are going to be like everybody. I think people are going to be with you saying 10, 11, 12 wins.
They already
the,
are.
And I agree. I think the ceiling is that.
Oh, I don't but know.
My rational brain. So what? The ceiling is
12.
All right. Well, all right. You know, March 18th, let's play this game. Home against the Lions.
Oh, no, we're not doing this.
Let's do it. Let's do it right now. Okay. Really fast. Home against the Lions.
Win. They know how to beat the Lions.
Okay. Home against the Packers.
Win.
It depends. And the problem is, like, if this is like the first 2 weeks, maybe not.
Yeah. Definitely right, not.
I'm going to say 1-1 in those games just because it's the Bears. Vikings, I'm starting to agree with you. I think you sweep the Vikings. So let's just say, you know, those are two wins there. So you're 4-0.
Let's go.
I'm 3-1. Home Rams.
That should be a win. I don't think the Rams.
No Aaron Donald.
That team's going to
famously retired.
Unbelievable offense.
I will also say win. But so 5-0 for you, 4-1 for me. Home Seahawks.
They're going to lose one of these games, so I'll say lost to Seattle. They should win that game. Seattle's not that good either.
I will actually say win there, just because new head coach Gino.
Good point. New head coach. Forgot about that.
So we're both at what, 6-1 at this point?
Oh fuck, 5-1.
Home Jaguars.
I think the Jaguars might be better this year. I'm gonna go loss.
I think they bounce back too. All right, so we're both at 6-2. Home Titans, home Panthers, home Patriots. That better be sweep. So we're both at 8-2 right here. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Yeah. So we're both at 8-2 so far. We're only through the home slate. Okay, so we have the Vikings one out of the way. So 8-2 for both of us. 7 games left at Lions.
Loss.
I'll say loss too. At Packers. Let's say the final week of the season.
Probably loss.
Okay. 8-4. At Cardinals.
Win.
9-4. At 49ers.
Loss.
I agree. 9-5. At Texans.
Loss.
Agree. 9-6. At Colts. At Commanders.
2 W's. So 11-6.
11-6.
That's what it should be. I mean, that's really what it should be.
But that schedule, I mean, look at who you have. Like the Panthers, Patriots at home. Oh. Sorry to Sam. I know it hurts.
But, the NFL.
You
know,
like then you have at Colts, at Commanders, at like this schedule. I mean, it's all like not saying the Bears are going to win the Super Bowl, but that schedule with the number one overall pick, with this roster that you've built around him. You know, you don't have a Chargers situation where, okay, you have the quarterback and you have fuck all else. You have seemingly like the offensive line still needs some work. Do not get me wrong about that. Like you need to draft a couple linemen and please God sign somebody soon. Maybe Nate Davis is healthier and that accounts for some things. Maybe Tevin Jenkins being healthier helps too. But, you know, you seemingly have a lot here to even if you sneak into the playoffs. So let me ask you this. Is it a successful season if you sneak into the playoffs at 9-8?
No,
I disagree. No. If you make the playoffs, okay. What if you're 9-8 and you? Well, because if you're 9-8, you probably play what, the 2 seed in the wild card game.
A two game difference from last year.
All right. Hear me out. 9-8, and you beat the Lions in the first round of the playoffs, but then you lose you lose to the Eagles.
Well, yeah, it's successful if you win a playoff game.
Okay.
But if you go 9-8 and you get like smacked around in the offs, then it's not successful.
This is so stupid. I can't believe we're doing this. Well, 9-8
this is real.
You lose a one possession game to the Eagles in the first round of the playoffs.
Failure.
Really? A one possession game?
I think so. Look,
in the first year of a rookie quarterback,
9-8. I don't know. Would you be happy?
9-8 in a close playoff loss.
Okay, maybe fine.
On the road. In Philadelphia?
But typically, if you're making the playoffs at 9-8, you don't deserve to be there anyway. But if you go to there, if you go there, and yeah, it's a close game. I'll give that to you. But I don't know if successful is the right word. Maybe competence is the right word. But I don't know if it's successful. Jake, that's a 2-game difference from last year. And like,
yeah, but you also, you know, haven't won a playoff. You haven't been in the playoffs since 2018. You haven't been in the playoffs in 5 years.
So the bar for you is making the playoffs.
Actually, that's not true, because you were in the playoffs against the Saints. But I like scrubbed that game from my memory.
That game was not real.
But again, it's been multiple years since you've been in the playoffs.
Yeah, I mean.
And in the first year of a rookie quarterback, that's a great jumping off point.
I just like, here's the thing that you have to understand, though. And the thing that like, oh, okay, you can call this unfair. But if we're going to say that Caleb Williams is so much better than Justin Fields, he's going to make the team so much better from day one. He's the right choice and make the team so much better. All right, then that should be reflected in the win total. And that should be significantly reflected. If that's the case, if the difference between him and Justin Fields is so significant. So even if he is a first year rookie, like I said, he's not going to get the benefit of the doubt. And yes, he deserves more years to get the benefit of the doubt. But from the expectations that have been set for him from day one, if they are only a 2-game improvement from last year with all the additions they've made, then to me, that's not enough. It's not. And I know this is against
what, 11 wins to be?
I need 10 wins. I need 10 wins to be like, okay, let's go. You need a 3-game improvement. I mean, if they go 9-8 next year, you're not really feeling the momentum towards 20. I mean, the Texans went 10-7 last year with one of the, or they even go, they went 10-7. I don't think they got 11 wins.
They 10-7 won the division.
The worst roster ever and a phenomenal.
That was a decent roster. Like,
let's slow the roll. I mean it's not dissimilar.
They had two legitimate receivers. I mean, they were young, they were unproven, but by the end of the year, we can all agree that Tank Dell and Nico Collins are legitimate top 25 receivers each, respectively.
They're not in the same tier as Keenan Allen or DJ.
Sure, but it's not dissimilar, is my point. Dalton Schultz is he's an above average receiving tight end. Offensive, they have one of the best offensive tackles in all football, Laramie Tunsil. D'Amico Ryan, here's might be the biggest, you know, schism between like D'Amico Ryans and Matt Eberflus. That might be your biggest difference here.
So if they go 9-8, fired.
I think it's a success. I think fired. God, Jesus. I think if they go 9-8 and they make the playoffs, and even if they miss the playoffs, I would take 9-8. So my immediate thought, and I know we just did this thing with the schedule, I'm expecting 9-8. Just give me a winning record in the first year of Caleb Williams and then figure out the rest. Because you'll still have DJ Moore. You'll still have Cole Kmet. You'll still have this. And what have I said before? And when we had this conversation years ago about Justin Fields, generally the biggest jump that you see in quarterback play is year one to year two. Like if you go 9-8 and barely miss the playoffs in year one of Caleb Williams, I'll be ecstatic going forward. Like I think that'll be a success because you could spend, and I know like knowing you, you'll be on here saying Super Bowl Bears next year. Here we go. 9-8. You made a 2-game improvement. You just missed the playoffs. Now they're hungry. Now they know what it means to win. The culture's changed. They have the fire beneath them and we're going to the Super Bowl. I know you, I know that's how that's going to go. I can hear it in my head already. But I'm just saying, I don't think you're wrong to expect double-digit wins. I don't think you're wrong for that because, again, we just did this earlier. The roster's ready. You have the defense. You have the receivers. You have one receiver and DJ Moore alone that really Mitch Trubisky, Justin Fields. I mean, Justin Fields technically had him. But, like, you know, one of the best receivers that you've ever had in franchise history after one season. And now you add Keenan Allen to that to be second fiddle when he could go to anywhere else, really, probably, and be number one in most places. And, you know, like the Patriots are probably kicking themselves for not giving a third for Keenan Allen to overtake the Bears and those discussions.
Yeah.
Probably multiple teams like that. So, and then Cole Kmet, who I think we can agree is a top 10 tight end in the league, maybe it has the potential to be top 5 even. And an offensive line that if you're healthy, I mean, we've agreed on the show, we like Braxton Jones. Darnell Wright could be a beast. Tevin Jenkins, if he could ever, God, stay healthy, could be a beast.
beast.
Nate Davis, I think he just needs to be healthy. We haven't, like, he had a very weird year with the passing of a family member and the injury and So, excuse me, like, it's there. And so I don't think you're wrong for expecting double digit wins. This is where my jaded Bears fandom comes in, where it's probably going to be 8 or 9. I would be ecstatic, because remember we did this show when the Khalil Mack trade happened in 2018. And the very first thing I said on the show was, yeah, give me 8 wins and I'll be happy. And that was when it was still a 16 game season. And then they went and won 12, and it was awesome. It was the best season we've had on this show. It was the most fun by far.
So fun.
But so I don't think you're wrong. I think we're in for a fun season regardless, because I think they're going to be a good team.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just like, I'm so trained with the Bears. It's like a shock collar to manage my expectations, because I don't want to say 11 wins, let's go, and then it's 9 and I'm pissed. Like, I'd rather, you know, I'd rather say 8 or 9. And then when they get to 11 or 12, just enjoy the ride. And, you know, when they get to 11 and 12 and shock us and they beat the 49ers in San Francisco, or, you know, they go and they smack the Packers as the Packers fight for the one seed. And, you know, at Lambeau in the final week of the season, the Bears get into the playoffs and the Packers drop to the 2 seed. Like, I want to be excited for that, but I want to be excited for it in the moment and not expect it, if that makes sense.
Yeah. And here, I got a good question for you. So how much of your evaluation of the team, say Justin Fields is the starter week one in Pittsburgh, say, just like play this hypothetical, at the end of the year, is it fair to draw comparisons between the Justin Fields led Steelers and the Chicago Bears? Or do we just have to, like, do away with that and, like, accept that this is the way it is and, like, there's no revisionist history and, like, you know, because I think it's going to be a hard pill to swallow for some people if Justin Fields led the Steelers to a better record next year than the Chicago Bears. Because I think regardless, the Bears have a better team than the Steelers from a personnel standpoint. They obviously don't have a better coach, but they should be a better team. So say the Bears go 9-8. But the Steelers go 11-6 and somehow win the AFC North. Like, do you draw? Is it fair? Is it right? Or is it stupid to draw the comparisons to a Justin Fields-led Steelers team?
I don't think it's stupid, because I think it's going to happen regardless. That's just how sports work, not even football, but it's just how sports are. I don't think it's stupid. I do think it's a little unfair, because you have to consider, the Steelers went 10-7 and went to the playoffs, and Mason Rudolph started that playoff game. Let that sink in. Mason Rudolph started that playoff game, and Mitch Trubisky started games last season for the Pittsburgh Steelers. They went through three quarterbacks, all of whom are terrible. Kenny Pickett, Mitch Trubisky, Mason Rudolph. That team went 10-7 and went to the playoffs. They got smoked, but they still went to the playoffs. They still had a 10-7 record. So I think people will make the comparisons, but I think, as I always say on this show, context is important. Like, if Justin Fields goes to the Steelers and they go 12-5 and they go to the playoffs, I don't think they'll win the division, but, you know, it's not impossible. Context just matters. They're like, Justin Fields is going to one of the best head coaches in the entire league, going to one of, you know, we think the Bears defense is good. The Steelers is absolutely unbelievable. Phenomenal. You know, the Bears don't have a guy. And I know we like Montez Sweat. Montez Sweat is not TJ Watt. Not even close. Sorry. We love Jaquan Brisker. He's not even close to what Minka Fitzpatrick is. We think maybe he could be eventually, but isn't right now. So just context matters, you know, and maybe the Steelers don't quite have the supporting cast offensively that the Bears do now. So it maybe balances out. But I think when you think about and you evaluate the Steelers, they have a Hall of Fame head coach. They have probably at least one, maybe two Hall of Famers on their defense as it is. And I just think that context is important. I think people will make the comparisons regardless, because that's just how we do things in sports. The talking heads, you know, First Take, blah, 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 blah. It's going to happen regardless. I just think it might be a little unfair, because the Bears were a losing team last year and the Steelers were a playoff team with Mason Rudolph. So I think when we're talking about this whole thing of expectations versus, you know, managing expectations, I think Steelers fans should absolutely be expecting 12, 13 wins.
Wow.
If it's Justin Fields or Russell Wilson, because I mean, Kevin, Mason Rudolph started a playoff game. Come on. No
receivers.
Like, sure. But I mean, like, do we really think George Pickens isn't finally going to take a step forward?
Oh, he will, but they need help.
Like, and Van Jefferson is like a fine number two. I'm not saying he's the same, but like, you know, and haven't we all talked about how deep this receiver class is in this draft? Yeah, like, the Steelers are definitely taking a receiver. So, you know, they're probably going to take a Donnie Mitchell and he's going to be awesome. So it's just, if I'm a Steelers fan, and shout out to Keita, I don't know if she's watching this right now, probably not, but she has a child to put to bed and she lives in the Eastern time zone. Not important, but you know, if I'm a Steelers fan, I'm expecting 12 to 13 wins. You won 10 with Kenny Pickett, you know, the law firm of Pickett, Trubisky, and Rudolph. You should absolutely, Wilson and Fields, be expecting 12 or 13 and going back to the playoffs, 100%.
Okay. I agree. And let me, like, a couple more things for you before I head out. I mean, this is like, we got to keep our eye on the Steelers, whether you like it or not, because what happens with them determines our draft positioning. And I truly believe, and this is not my Justin Fields bias playing into this at all, he will be the starter week one. I truly believe that. I know that they've said, hey, Russ, we're committing to you as a starter. The Bears did that with Nick Foles and Andy Dalton. And like, that,
not even a Bear. How many times do we see this in the NFL? Take the Bears out of it. The NFL it in general, this happens all the time. Again, this happened with Russell Wilson himself.
It did happen with Russell Wilson in Seattle, right, with Matt Flynn. And look, and it's almost, it does feel very much like Justin Fields is like the rookie, right? And like,
right,
and,
yeah.
And like, but like, you know, they are not financially binded to Russell Wilson. They don't feel obligated to play him because they pay him. He's getting paid the veteran minimum in just over the veteran minimum in Pittsburgh, and the rest of that contract being paid by Denver. So they can care less about that. And I think they're going to get to training camp and be
if anything, really quick, sorry, I know I keep cutting you off, but like the Steelers, if anything, that'll give Justin Fields more of a chance because the Steelers are like, we're not paying this guy. The Broncos are paying this guy. We can sit his ass on the bench and those checks will keep piling up for him. They'll keep arriving.
Exactly. That's my whole point. Is like they have no obligation financially to play him, no incentive. And you know, like they have incentive not to play Fields because of what they have to give away. Like, sure, but at the end of the day, if Fields means more winning, then they're gonna do that. They don't care about a fourth versus sixth round pick at the end of the day. They don't care. But I think they're gonna get to training camp and realize, like, what are we doing here? Like, we're going to start Justin Fields. He has way more potential. He's younger. He's got a better arm. He's more mobile. Like, he could do everything that Russell Wilson can do, but better. Like, Justin Fields was the better quarterback the last 2 years. Like, what are we doing? And I know you could argue Russell Wilson was in a worse situation, but both situations were bad for both quarterbacks. So I don't want to hear that just because he was with Nathaniel Hackett and, you know, Sean Payton, who hated him this year, that, you know, he's absolved of the failures that he had last year. Certainly played a part, but like, I think Fields is going to go there and be the starter. And if he does, that turns into a fourth round pick.
I'm willing to bet that over the last 2 years, Russell Wilson has more game ending interceptions and or turnovers than Justin Fields. If not as many.
Okay.
I have no math to back that up. If anybody in the comments wants to look that up, based on like just off the dome, like I'd be willing to bet that.
Okay. So yeah, I mean Justin Fields has had a lot of game losing turnovers, but
including against the Broncos.
Yikes. But yeah, so I think he's gonna be the starter week one in Pittsburgh, which makes the whole situation feel better if he gets a fourth round pick. Like, it just makes it all feel better.
Yeah.
As we were talking about the draft and the number one overall pick, and you'd hinted on this earlier about the way that they've been handling the offseason with trades. You were starting to believe that they might trade the number one overall pick. And I was the same way, but I was also like, they're trading one of them. And obviously, since they're not trading one, they are 100% trading out of 9. I would bet a lot of money on them, if you could, to trade out of number 9. And if they do that, which I think they will, there is a player I'm looking at in the middle of the first round who hasn't gotten a lot of love, but got a little love today from Chris Sims, who ranked him as the second wide receiver in the class. Brian Thomas Jr. from LSU is really effing good, and he just happens to be the perfect complement to what you already have. Keenan Allen, DJ Moore, great tactical route runners, can do everything intermediate and short game, aren't necessarily deep threat, take the top off the defense type guys.
You don't have a burner.
Yeah, you don't have a burner. Now you go with Brian Thomas from LSU, and you are talking about, or Brian, Brian Robinson. Brian Robinson, mm-hmm. right? No, Brian Thomas. Brian Robinson is a player for the Commanders. Brian Thomas. You get a take the top off 6'4 effortless speed guy who is the perfect complement to Keenan Allen and DJ Moore, and he will be available for you in the mid rounds. So you could even trade down to like 18 or 19, get a ton of fucking capital, and still get your big time guy. Now, the only way that this may not work out is because of what you're saying about there's going to be quarterbacks 1, 2, 3. JJ McCarthy's getting into the top 10. I'm convinced of that. Bo Nix might get into the top 13. Michael Penix Jr. might get into the top 15. There is going to be a really, really good player available for you at 9. Really good player available. Just because of
the Would you draft quarterbacks. Brock Bowers at 9?
And that's what you have to ask yourself. Are you going to go BPA? Are you going to go best player available? Are you going to go position of need? And they clearly don't need Brock Bowers because mm-hmm. they just signed Gerald Everett. But a Brock Bowers, Dallas Turner, Latu, they all might be available for you at 9. So do you pass all that up to trade down and recoup some assets that you've given away and still get a good player at Brian Thomas Jr. at like 19 or 20? I don't know, but I think they're trading out because they have 4 picks. Jake, they're the least amount of picks of any team in the draft. Mm-hmm. Who would have thought?
I agree. So that's my initial thought too, that they will trade out of number 9 unless they absolutely love Roma Dunze or Brock Bowers and one of those guys falls down. If Fashanu or Alt drop to 9, you're staying there. I don't think it's out of the question.
Or Alt.
I mean, talk about, you want to protect Caleb Williams and you feel good about your receiver room. I agree with you. I think the most likely position is that they trade with like the Vikings and say, hey, go ahead, take JJ McCarthy at 9. Have a lot of fun with that. Or the Broncos. And one of those guys, because I think they're 12 and 13 respectively. So I think that's most likely. And then you take like a Jared Verse, or maybe it is one of the other receivers who's at the back half of the first round. But I think that let's play this game again. Caleb Williams, number 1. Let's say Jaden Daniels just for funsies at number 2, Drake May at number 3. Okay. Number 4, Marvin Harrison Jr. probably still. Number 5, I still kind of feel like it's going to be Bowers to the Chargers, just because you can't have Justin Herbert have just Quentin Johnston to throw to. You can't. That's malpractice.
Neighbors,
like that's okay.
Bowers or neighbors? One of the two.
All right, let's say neighbors just for fun.
It's a playmaker.
Let's say neighbors for fun. At 6 is
New York, who I think
New York, the Giants. I mean,
probably Odunze.
You think?
So that's what I'm saying. You might see the run of the 3 receivers.
Okay, so let's say Odunze at 6. 7, the Titans definitely take a lineman to protect Levis. 8, the
Falcons
aren't taking Bowers, so they probably take
Dallas Turner.
They probably take, to protect Kirk Cousins, they probably take Fashanu, no?
Okay, yeah. I mean, their offensive line's already pretty solid in Atlanta, but they could bolster that with Fashanu or take Dallas Turner. Sure. They're not taking one of your guys, most likely.
Well,
quote unquote, what is
my point? If they take Turner and then Fashanu falls to you at 9, I think you stay there and you take him.
Absolutely not. You trade down.
You think?
You have to recoup assets at that point.
I don't disagree, but
I don't think he's good enough to not trade down when you only have 4 picks and no picks.
Well, in that scenario, if you're passing on Fashanu at 9, you're passing on Bowers too.
Right.
Then you're trading down regardless. And then you're trading to, again, Minnesota or Denver or, well, I guess if JJ McCarthy's off the board, maybe. Oh God, if Bo Nix goes in the top 10, but I mean, if somebody's desperate, then sure. I agree with you. I think the path forward is probably trade down and recoup some assets and get a receiver, or maybe you get like the name that keeps popping in my head is Jared Verse because of the whole like this thing with Poles and Eberflus on the day of the combine when the linebackers were working out.
Yeah, you saw that clip.
And Verse worked out with the linebackers, and I love this and his measurables and so. I agree with you. I think trade down from nine is probably the most likely scenario. But I mean, if Adunze, let's just say, falls to nine, like, how do you not take him? Right?
Yeah. I think you have to. I think you absolutely have to. But I just don't. I just, like, I'm on the.
I think Keenan Allen's going to be good. And I think as a number two, he's going to be great. But he's 32 and in the last year of his contract.
Can't, like, preclude you from taking another guy. It just can't. I agree. It just can't. So, and you could build an offense. I mean, that might be the best receiving trio in the NFL if you were to bring it.
It's not bad. So. Yeah, I mean, you had Cole Kmet in there at top four. That's ridiculous. Yeah. And then, I mean, DeAndre Swift in there too, who we haven't mentioned once yet today.
Right. Yeah, the last point on this is, like, I just think organizations stay good. Like, you're at the start of your window. You can't fall under the Ryan Pace spell. You can't just give away assets consistently to make your team better. You have to do this the way all the great teams do it, and recoup draft capital and build through the draft over time and consistently have young guys on cheap contracts on your roster. That is just what good teams do. And four picks at the start of your window is not cutting it. And yeah, you can say the Bears aren't a good team.
Well, no, I was going to say, to be fair, the Chiefs are just paying everybody. They're just finding money from God knows where.
Yeah, the Chiefs are doing weird things. And they're, hey, Patty Mahomes, we're just going to convert like $80 million into like a signing bonus. Is that cool? Yeah, okay. And there you go. There's the entire cap situation figured out. So, but this is what good teams do. You got to keep draft capital. So that's why I think they'll trade down. But
yeah, agree. All right, before we leave, last point, March 18th, prediction for the Bears, 24-25 season. Record, and if they make the playoffs, how many games they win?
You cause this.
I know. Fun.
You do this to me. Like, I didn't want to have to do this, and now I'm going to get myself optimistic.
This is the Nick Costos, Ken Barkley, and me. Like, the NFL season ends, and they immediately want to talk about the next season. It's in my head.
I mean, the NFL's king. I've been thinking about it. I just don't know if I'm ready for a prediction, but I'll do it for the sake of it. I think the Bears go 11-6, as we played it out with the schedule. I think Caleb Williams plays well, handles the pressure. I don't know. I think he plays well. And then I think
offensive rookie of the year.
I mean, yeah, if they go 11-6, he'll be the offensive rookie of the year. Unless, well, Marvin Harrison Jr. in Arizona is a scary thing. If he could have a record setting season, but we saw a record setting season.
If you're winning 11 games, like, you're playing really, really good football.
Well, right. But if you're, I mean, how much better can you be than Puka Nacua, who didn't win it last year, to the rookie quarterback? So we know they favorite quarterbacks. So let's for the sake of it, Bears go 11-6. Caleb wins offensive rookie of the year. Everyone's happy. What do you got for me?
Do they win a playoff game?
If they win the division, yeah. Oh my God, why am I doing this? This is horrible. None of this is happening. They're going 8-9. Caleb Williams crumbles to the pressure, and the Bears are back at square one.
I will say the Bears are 10-7. They sneak into the playoffs. They lose in the first round of the playoffs. I don't think they get smoked like the Texans did, just because the NFC is way more wide open. Well, Texans
won the first game.
Yes.
And then they got smoked.
Then they got smoked by the Ravens. I'll say the Bears lose the first game, though. Again, just because the NFC, well, if the NFC is that much more wide open,
it's going to be wide open other than the Niners again. Because I think the Eagles are going to be better.
Well, okay, but so let's play this game. Like, you really fast. You sneak in as the wild card NFC. You would play because the first two seeds get byes. So you would play the three.
No, just the one seed gets the bye. The two plays the seven, the three plays the six, and the four plays the five.
All right. So let's say you're the seven. Okay. So the two, who do we want? We want to say the 49ers are the one in the NFC. So the two is either the Lions, the Packers, or like the Eagles.
Okay. Packers, no way.
I'll say 10-7, and they lose in the first round of the playoffs. But it is a solid start to the Caleb Williams era, and saves Ryan Poles and Matt Eberflus for multiple years.
It's all you can ask for, baby.
Yeah,
all in. Let's go.
I mean, it's a 3-win improvement to make the playoffs. I think that's great. I think that's exactly. I think that is what you should be rooting for. I know we're Bears fans and we'll get caught up in the moment. We'll say, no, they should win a playoff game, go into Philadelphia, kick their asses. But, you know, we'll cross that bridge when they get there. It's exciting time. It's exciting.
It sure is.
We're now. It's so nice. It's so liberating to actually be here now and stop having to play the, oh, well, they might not, and they might, and they bet.
Right.
It's so liberating that they've chosen a path, that they've picked a lane, and now they've cleared the way forward. It's so nice. This was so exhausting for the last, what, 3-4 months to do this whole song and dance. It was exhausting.
Mentally taxing. Yes.
But it's over. Caleb Williams, welcome to the Chicago Bears. Justin Fields, love you. Wish you the best of luck. Sorry you didn't get a fair shake here, but, you know, that's, as I always say, that's business, baby. That's the NFL. So it is what it is. But no more looking back. We only look forward. Things I could also use in my personal life. So with that being said, appreciate everybody listening, viewing. Saw we had a ton of people on Twitter watching today. Appreciate you guys. We will be back probably closer to the draft. I think the Bears are probably going to stand pat now. So we'll take a little time off unless something crazy happens. But we'll be back closer to the draft. We'll start doing some mocks in a couple weeks of our own and projecting how this is going to go as we do every season. So until then, for myself, for Kevin, this has been Bears Nation Podcast. Appreciate you guys as always. And of course, as always, feels finally...